Drivers, start your engines.
Recording live from the NASCAR Man Cave in the Motor City, this is the Lap Traffic Podcast with Tony and Brandon. All right, Lap Traffic Nation, welcome to another show, show number 14 here in the NASCAR Man Cave. My name's Tony Smith, alongside the professor, Brandon Crowd. How you doing, B?
Sup?
How you doing, buddy?
Good, how are you, sir?
Good, man. Good week, another good week of racing.
We got power.
We have power. That's new.
Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, I'm excited about
yes,
that. Yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of power, we had a lot of downloads too.
We did. We had
another
quite a few.
Week.
Over 300 downloads, and we're approaching the 3,500 total mark in 13 shows, sir.
Yeah. So we got another good show lined up for you today. Episode 14. Man, 14 already.
It's crazy.
It's going by fast. But obviously we're going to cover Phoenix, right? We're going to have another edition of the Crew Chief Corner. And we have a special guest, too.
We do.
But, you know what? You know, actually, I'm glad, you know, he's calling in today. And I'm kind of glad. Because we're sitting here in the green room, and we don't even have any snacks. We usually have, like, you know, something, of, you know, M&Ms. We have Swedish fish.
NASCAR by Merritt dropped the ball on that one.
Yeah, man. Maria. Wow. I'm calling INS on her ass.
She's gone.
God, man, dude. You know, so anyways. But no, we do have a very special guest, somebody that we've been talking about for a while. Man, we're big fans and really looking forward to talking to more. Ladies and gentlemen, let me bring in, joining us, our second guest, Brad Yunker, Power Skiff driver of the number 30, Power Skiff Top Speed Modified. Brad, you there?
Yes, sir. How you doing, guys?
Doing great. Hey,
what's up, man?
We've been talking for quite a while. This is cool to have you on the show, and I know you got a lot of work to do here getting your car ready, so we really appreciate you taking time to talk with us today, and we appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, man, welcome.
But I appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely. Brad, I was talking with your PR guy, and you guys are making a switch from ARCA trucks to the Top Speed Modified series. For those of our listeners not familiar with that, you want to tell us a little about the car and the series?
Basically, we've switched from a fendered car to an open-wheeled car. Asphalt tracks, 8-inch tires as opposed to the 10-inch we were using. Basically, over horsepowered, lightweight car.
Undertired.
Undertired, over horsepowered, lightweight. Just makes for, you know, some pretty exciting racing. And
There's nothing better. Honestly, that's really, and that's fun to drive too when you have tons of power. And, you know, not as much tire. I mean, that takes drivers to do that stuff. So that's awesome. So how's the car coming along? I mean, when's the series kick off? Tell us more about what's going on.
Well, the series kicks off. Let's see, what's the date? In another week and a half, we are at IRP or Lucas Oil Raceway, whichever you prefer to call it.
I still know it as IRP. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, I still know it as IRP.
You need to get that part out of me.
that's a great track.
Things are moving on that side a little faster than what I'd like them to, because we're not moving as fast as I'd like to, but not by anybody's fault, but it's just, things have come, you know, we started building this car probably about a month, maybe a month and a half ago, because we weren't prepared to switch to a different series. We were kind of forced into it. So been learning everything, bringing the new stuff in, and just kind of, you know, we'll get out there and get everything situated and be a lot better off when the season gets rolling.
Yeah, absolutely.
Brett, how what's the field size like? How many cars? How do you qualify for the races? What's the race format like?
The Oh boy, you're gonna ask me the hard questions.
He is a professor.
You know what they do for me? You know, there's somebody on the radio that talks to me in my ear. There's somebody outside the car that points me in the right direction, and then I just get on there and go left. After
stand on the gas and go. Hell yeah! He doesn't make him any different than any other driver I ever met before.
Yeah, exactly. See, but I think it depends on the size of the track of how many. Cars are gonna.
Oh, that makes sense.
Start the
yeah,
races.
Sure. That makes total sense.
So, you know, I think a few more than a typical small track will be starting at Bristol. But
have you run Bristol before?
No,
man, that'd be good.
But time. I've run Winchester. I've run Winchester Speedway quite a few times, and that's pretty similar.
Okay, that's awesome.
So, Brad, you recently got a new sponsor, PowerSkiff. You want to tell us a little bit about that arrangement and how you guys came about?
I was told that Mike says hi.
Oh, well, hello, Mike.
He is a big fan of your guys's, listens to the show.
Awesome.
Oh, that's so cool.
So he wanted to make sure he got to say hi.
Oh, well, we'll make sure to reach out to him this week. Yeah.
Definitely. We just a lot of conversations. One thing led to another. Things, you know, I guess kind of took off really quick and everything started to sound really cool. And so we decided to do this. PowerSkiff. I'm sorry.
I was going to say they do fishing boats, cruisers, that
yes,
kind of stuff.
They do. Yeah, they have, I believe they start out at a 15-foot fishing and flatwater boats, and then they go up to 22 to 35-foot lake cruisers.
Okay.
I saw a picture. Those are
sweet.
Are so cool.
Nice. Very cool.
Yeah, really they cool. They tricked me. The first time I saw them, they tricked me.
Yeah? Yeah.
So I honestly thought it was a wooden boat.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, that's really cool.
Well, and so that's like the best of both worlds, right? I mean, you know, the upkeep on, you don't have the upkeep of the old wood boat, right? And with with the modern hull, that's super cool combination. Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it was. And like I said, I didn't even realize at first. I really thought, oh, cool, they're you know, bringing wooden boats back. This is great.
Well,
and
even better.
I found out they were built even better and still made them look that way.
Yeah, that's cool.
That's
best
cool.
of both worlds.
Brad, you have a new announcement that you would like to make, I was told.
Oh, yes. We are going to be the official mod head car of the Top Speed Modified Tour. Mod Heads is a fan club for the tour. It's free to join. People can get all of their news from their VIP experiences. We're doing basically a autograph deal where for $5 a person, everybody gets a chance to evidently, I'm told, sign their name on the back deck of the car.
That'll be there all year, right?
And it will follow us around all season. They can have pictures. They can, you know, get autographed cards. They can have pictures with me or the car, or, you know, anything they want with that. We'll be more than willing to accommodate everybody.
All right, I'll tell you what we'll do, Brad. You can put lap traffic down. We'll be
absolutely.
The first ones on there. How
yes.
about that?
Awesome. Definitely.
When we get done recording tonight, we'll be the first ones in. How about that?
Okay. All sounds right. great.
Love
I like that.
Love it.
And we're going to catch up with you a couple times.
Yeah, we're actually going to try to make it up to your June 3rd race at Auto Club or Auto City.
Auto City.
In Michigan.
Auto Club's in...
Auto Club's... I'm on Fontana for this weekend.
I'll go to Flint. How about that?
if we're at Auto Club this weekend, then we're all having a good time.
I'm going to start driving fast.
Right? They Rich was telling me that Modhead is going to try to do like some parties beforehand and all that kind of stuff, which will be pretty cool.
Bring your sippy cup.
I'll bring my sippy cup.
Yeah, don't forget the sippy cup. Matter of fact, I might put one in the motorhome for you just to make sure.
Oh, there we go.
That'd be hysterical. That'd be awesome.
Yeah. Well, I've put your name on it.
So I see the name of the tour is the Kickin' Asphalt Tour, and I got to tell you, that is a great name, and I thought for a minute maybe a country singer was sponsoring that as part of their tour or something like that.
Well, you know, that's I go. That's be a heck of a name for a podcast. I'm like, where were you on that one, dipshit? You know, like, hey, that would have been great, but
oh, that's fun. Yeah.
So you mentioned Bristol a little bit ago, and my nickname is the professor. I do some teaching, and so I always do my homework, or at least I try to. And I went and pulled up some of the tracks that you guys are running, and most of them appear to be pretty flat. And you guys are headed to Bristol, which is not flat by any means. So, right. You know, a new car, a modified type car, how do you expect that car to kind of handle on a track like Bristol, which is different from your
different setup entirely, probably, right?
It's going to depend. Actually, Toledo, which, well, isn't flat by any means. Toledo's about 19 degrees. So we'll do some testing and practicing on there. As I said, you know, before, I've been to Winchester many times. Winchester is the same banking. Same size, and so I already have an idea of what to expect. It's just more of the idea of what to expect from the car.
Sure.
You know, the tracks don't bother me, but actually I tend to prefer the bigger, faster tracks than the small bull rings.
Yeah, okay. And I noticed you're running an Ellis chassis this year, and mm-hmm. lots of power. Maybe so. That'd be good.
Yes.
It'd be a good time. You know, that's like the American way, right? Like, you know, like this much power is good, right? So if like a lot is good, and too much must be perfect.
It's ideal.
Like, that's right. Exactly.
Give me more.
You know, when I got into this deal, everybody told me, "Oh, you can't have too much horsepower." You know, quit saying that. You can't have too much. Well, you know, I've talked to some other people in the series, and they're like, you might want to tone that down a little bit at a few places. So,
all right.
So, random side note: if we do make it up to the race on June 3rd, right. I was told that you have not been to Tony's restaurant in Birch Run, and that's a crime against humanity if you're in the state of Michigan.
You've never been there?
We may need to get you there.
So Tony's is it's famous for bring your appetite. So like as an example, like you get a BLT sandwich, you literally get a pound of bacon.
It's no exaggeration.
No exaggeration whatsoever. Literally get a pound of bacon. So and it's right around the corner.
It's right in downtown Birch Run. Yeah, so
Brandon,
you're going to have to check that out. Yes.
He'll
Brandon will buy.
He'll trade you a sandwich for a sippy cup.
Yeah.
They got that one hanging on the wall.
Right. Oh. Before we get into the show, you want to plug your series and sponsor real quick?
Sure. Plug them all.
Yeah, go ahead,
man.
All right. That's what we like to hear.
It's all you.
Actually, I'm going to first I'm going to say something about the Modhead fan club.
Yeah,
go ahead.
If you want to go on and look for that, that's at topspeedmods.com/modhead. You can get on there and get signed up and get all the information you need off of there, and they'll take care of you on that. Obviously, with Power Skiff jumping in, you know, they've done a lot to get us started and rolling and get going on this deal. I have two sponsors that have been with me for, oh my gosh, maybe 15 years. And that's Champion Credit Union and Labor's Local 574.
That's awesome.
And yeah, I am actually a 23 year veteran as a laborer.
Oh, very nice. Congrats.
Yeah. So Yeah, I actually have to work for a living too.
Shitty how that works out sometimes.
That's not what I had planned for this whole driving thing.
Right, yeah.
Totally overrated. Yeah.
Details.
Yeah. And then obviously Rich, you know, Rich Mainhart, he does so much PR work and everything else, and kind of gets, he covers everything I tell him. He takes care of everything that I can't.
It's nice to have a guy like that.
Yeah.
I know that feeling. It's
I wouldn't be.
That's the professor for me.
Thank you.
Here, put this on the website. Tweet this out. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't be half of where I'm at if it wasn't for him. Oh, and then my crew chief and spotter and one of my best friends, Mike Bridge, he does a lot. You know, he helps me with everything, comes to the shop, you know, we hang out, we go golfing, all kinds of stuff like that. And we just have a good time. So when you come to the track, you put us two together and that's where you're going to pretty much get the party rolling afterwards.
We're there. Awesome.
All right, cool. Well, Brad, you want to stick around? We're going to get into some, we're going to cover some of last week's racing. You got time to join us?
Sure. Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
Let's do it.
All right. So, Phoenix this week. Crazy. Another crazy week. Some uneventful. No, nothing happened at all.
Yeah, no, nothing. Nothing.
No, but so Xfinity, that was the first Dash for Cash race of the year. Justin Allgaier pulled it out. Actually won $100,000.
That's awesome.
That damn near cleared out my bar tab.
Right. Yeah.
Almost.
Yeah.
But so Xfinity.
He must have been due for his because he hasn't won since 2012. Yeah. So he needed to get back and pay off some tax.
Yeah, but
maybe.
You know, he's one of these guys, though, when we talk about this all the time, is like, you know, he runs right up there. He's second or third, you know, but the Cup guys keep beating those guys in it. So,
well, you know, and I think there was talk all throughout Twitter over the weekend about how awesome the Xfinity race was, how great the racing was, that it was one of the best Xfinity races in a long time. Oh, and guess what? There weren't hardly any Cup drivers running there. Yeah. So clearly, we can have good, exciting races with maybe not as much star power, and it will still draw some attention. Now, the stage winner, stage one, and was won by Eric Jones. Stage two was Ryan Blaney. Now, both those guys are Cup guys, but those aren't your typical Cup guys that are running. You know, they're younger, you know. Eric Jones is young. Blaney's young. You know.
Let's ask Brad. Brad, what's your take on this on the Cup drivers driving in the Xfinity series?
I don't care for it. I don't. I think once you move up to that elite series, you there should be no reason for you to be down there. You know, those guys are coming up. They're working. They've worked hard. They're working, trying to work their way up. And, you know, it's just taken away, I think, from them.
Brad, I agree with you on that from that stance. But what about from like NASCAR stance in terms of a marketing and trying to sell tickets for the Xfinity races in terms of having a few of those guys' names in there as a draw to go to that Saturday afternoon show?
Well, I hate when everybody throws marketing into it because they throw that means everybody's seeing dollar signs with
it. Sure,
I think that's a big problem we've come into with racing. So everything's become about that dollar bill. So, you know, I would find another way, something. Just let these younger guys and these other guys come up and let them do what they need to do to get where these guys are already at.
Right. And that's kind of my point too, is they've got sponsors to take care of, right? They've got sponsors that have been with them a long time. They need some time in victory lane. You know, we don't need to see Kyle Busch there for the 873rd time. You know, I mean, I don't know. So that's my
or at all.
That's my
This was the a random fun fact. This was the first race at Phoenix for the Xfinity Series since '99 that did not have Kyle Busch or Kevin Harvick run
that right?
race. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. Well, if it's Kevin Harvick related, I'll know the answer or have a stat
also,
for you.
Kevin Harvick, also known as the third Bush brother.
Oh, wow. Wow. We can't do this show anymore. I'm sorry. Brad, you want to be a new co-host on the Live Traffic podcast?
Sure. We'll see how long that lasts.
You know what? So you have to bring your own sippy cup, and there's no snacks.
Yeah, there's no snacks.
Just tell them. Right.
Just for everyone listening that, you know, if they're not confused by the stages and all that, the Dash for Cash, if people haven't followed up on the qualifying for that, it's different from how it used to be with the stages. So the top two Xfinity points racing drivers in each stage are the four drivers eligible for the $100,000 Dash for Cash. And the top four finisher, the top finisher of those four drivers will win the Dash for Cash for that race. So it kind of reminds me kind of like the Homestead for the Cup and the Xfinity. You know, it's four guys that are running for that $100,000. So it doesn't matter. Maybe the race winner isn't part of those, and so it's just going to be the top finisher of those four. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I like the Dash for Cash. Yeah. I think that adds a little element in. That's nothing wrong. You know, running for money always
helps, right?
People.
Yeah. And then if the same driver wins all four Dash for Cash races, we just had the one at Phoenix. The next one is Bristol, then Richmond, and then they finish the Dash for Cash series at Dover. If the same driver wins all four of those, they get an extra $600,000 bonus for a total $1 million
now,
payout.
That would pay off my bar tab.
Yeah, that would.
It's somewhere between,
and a set of tires.
It's somewhere between like $100,000 and
$600,000. Right. Yeah. Right around there.
I know it's right in that.
You're
going to
strap in. Yeah. Brad, what do you think of this format and the limiting of the experienced Cup drivers in the Dash for Cash races? So if you've got over more than 5 years Cup experience, you are not eligible to run the Dash for Cash races.
I'm okay with that. Basically, if you've got over 5 years experience, you probably don't need the money so much.
Right. Or the team. Right?
But yeah, but there are some, you know, young, hungry drivers, teams just getting things together. They can't maybe produce anything more than in the Xfinity series. So something like that really helps those teams out if they happen to, you know, if they happen to get up there and can stay up in it.
Well, right. And so the analogy that we've used before, it was like it'd be like a professional baseball player going back down to the minor leagues. And he hit three home runs. Well, I freaking hope he did. So that's always how I equate it. But yeah, so see, reason number 724 are why I like Brad Yunker.
There you go.
See, that's my buddy. But hey, going on to,
lots of Xfinity news this weekend.
Lots of Xfinity news, yeah. Man, they're talking about going plate racing at Indy. Did you hear about that, Brad? That was
news. Yeah, I heard about that. I'm not sure I care for that, but I'd rather see Xfinity at IRP than I would at Indy.
Amen. Absolutely. How big is that track? Is that 3/8 mile?
A little bit bigger, I believe.
Yeah, I have seen a bunch of racing there. It's right down. So, Brandon, it's right down the street from Indy.
Oh, okay.
It's in Indianapolis still, okay. It's only a couple miles away, right?
Yeah.
It's a really cool short track. I've seen Casey Kane running sprint cars there. I've seen J.J. Yaley's and all those guys run there. So, yeah.
I mean, I've got a little different opinion on the plate race testing. At least they're testing it with the Xfinity cars and not the Cup cars. I personally don't think a place like Indy is going to benefit from a plate race. But I tell you, I'm intrigued to see a plate race at Michigan. I'm intrigued to maybe see a plate race at Pocono. I think some of the more drawn out, wider tracks that tend to have a little bit more of a boring race mentality from some of the casual fans might get drawn in. And hey, who knows? It might work. You know, it might make for some better racing at some tracks that have been labeled as not having some good racing. You know, and with this new aero package, you know, I'd be curious to at least let them test it out for a couple races and see what happens.
So Dale Jarrett was dead set against this. He had an example today. He was online and he said Dale Jarrett said, he goes, well, Jeff, we tried this at New Hampshire a while back, and Jeff Burton led every single lap. He goes, and it sucked, except for Jeff Burton.
Yeah, so, I'm sure he liked it. Yeah.
So, funny how that works,
yeah,
right?
Crazy,
right, Brad?
Crazy.
Yeah, amazing.
I was all good with everything. Yeah, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
39 other guys.
That was a great
race. Back then it would have been 43. So the 42 other guys thought it sucked, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, my concern there would be because Indy is so flat, and if you had to, you know, if you had to breathe it a little bit going through, you know, turn two and turn three, and you lose that draft, you're done. You don't have enough horsepower to catch them. You know, that would be that's my, I don't know.
Yeah, you're going to lose your momentum when you let off the throttle with the restrictor plate. You're going to lose so much momentum that it's going to take you half the track to try and gain it back again.
Right, and if you lose that draft, you're done. You're just out there burning gas.
Yep,
which would definitely be an issue at Pocono. You lose the draft at Pocono, you're dead in the water, basically.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. All right, well, stay tuned. I guess we'll see what happens. There's always something new coming. Yeah. From. You know, when we started this in January, we talked about this earlier, but we were afraid that we weren't going to have enough to talk about. You know, what will we talk about? Man, and this has been, stage
it's
racing.
It's because we're here. They're giving us, they're writing the show for us.
They are, and I appreciate it.
Cup, Ryan Newman.
Didn't see that one coming.
Nope. No.
That was awesome.
So, Brad, do you have a cup guy? Who's your guy?
I am a junior fan association. We were brought up as Earnhardt senior fans. Sure. So
there's a couple other people that were like that too.
Yeah, just a few.
Yeah, a couple other. Yeah.
That's, yep.
Yeah.
I have to say, you know, of course I've you know, become a Michael McDowell fan in recent times.
We try to pull race with AJ. Him and AJ Allmendinger were going back and forth. They were working hard this week.
For a few laps. That was all that the TV was showing, because that was the most exciting action on the track.
And I want to say McDowell finished like two spots in front of him.
I think he did at the end. Yeah.
Stage winners, Logano, Chase Elliott. Logano ends up blowing a tire there late. Tony, do you want to take a random guess who finished second in the race?
Yeah, right, yeah. Oh, the Mr. Bridemaid himself, Kyle Larson.
Seriously, I'm surprised with all of the Kyle Busch and Joey Logano memes that were floating around. I'm surprised someone has not pasted Joey Logano's head on a bridesmaid.
So random fact. So speaking of actually of Auto City Speedway, that's where the Keselowski boys ran. And actually his Brad's brother was actually faster. You know what I mean? Like lap times and wins. But Brad was more consistent. So that's kind of how he worked his way into the seat as more of the driver scenario. So I don't know, Brad, you wanna finish second in every race, or do you wanna rip off some wins, or what's your take on that?
I'd say after he finished, I kind of did the same thing last season. We seemed to finish second quite a bit. But after a while, you just don't care anymore. So you just tend to you're more apt to do something with that guy in front of you at the end of the race to get that win.
Race him.
Larson harder. Tried to get up to Newman, but... number 17.
He kind of got tangled up with Stenhouse there. I thought he had a run at him, but I thought it was a great strategy. So I thought that was cool. RCR's back in winner's circle, and that's good.
That's they work to their advantage. You know, it's good to get end the winless streak. You know, Roush will probably be the next one maybe to do that.
Well,
maybe.
They got a little work to do still.
Just a smidge.
Yeah. Hey. But, I noticed too, though, is that second week in a row where Joey Logano screws over Kyle Busch, right? Like, Kyle's got the win. He's cruising. Only got a couple laps to go. Who hits the wall? Joey does. He's like, you got to be kidding me, man.
For the record, Brad, this is Tony's fifth week in a row of playing into a conspiracy theory. It started back before Daytona.
It's not a theory, goddammit. I got facts. It's a difference.
First, it was the top two, Junior and Elliott at Daytona, and then it was, what else was it? There was the battery issues last week, and good Lord.
Man, there's way too many battery issues going on.
Kurt Busch has had some terrible battery issues the last two races.
Yeah, it's crazy.
All right, so then Ryan Newman had a battery issue. In the same race, Austin Dillon had a battery issue. Now Kurt Busch has had two battery issues in 2 weeks. All right, let me ask you a question. Why, instead of swapping out batteries and keep they told him on the radio, we have no more batteries charged. There's nothing we can do. If the car quits, just bring it in. How long does it take to change an alternator? Because I think I can change one in about 8 minutes.
I mean, well, what am I missing there, Brad? Is, their problem is that they're pushing the limits so much on, you know, you don't want the alternator to take away any horsepower from the motor. So they're pushing the limits on how far they can go with that and get away with it. So basically they want – it's almost like fuel. They want enough battery to make it through the race.
So that's what I'm – that's kind of what I'm saying. I honestly, I may be stretching this a little far, but, you know, like almost it's a faux alternator. Like if we can run it on battery, we're not draining anything off there, you know. So that's kind of just way too many batteries going down. They're doing something. You know what I mean? You don't see four battery issues in 3 weeks or something like that.
Right.
Like I said, any theory.
Well, they changed the battery in Kurt's car 6 times.
Yeah, that's absurd.
And why not an alternator? If it's not charging, change the alternator, right?
It's got to be some they have to have some kind of issues in between that. I mean, it's hard to say because now with the electronic dashes and everything else, there's so much that could be going on in there.
Yeah. See, so, there, Professor, it's not just me. Ha, 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 ha.
Fair enough. Whatever.
My buddy, Brad Yunker from the number 30 Power Skiff Motorsports car said that I'm right. Did you hear that?
I did. I'll write it on the calendar. So, Brad, if you haven't put it together yet, I'm a diehard Kevin Harvick fan. And so this is the second race in a row that Kevin Harvick did not win at Phoenix. Tony, Brad, has Kevin been dethroned as the king of the desert?
Well, I think they got a whole new package, a whole new car, whole new aero package, whole new everything. And I think they got some work to do. He did make a run back up there.
He did
have a good finish. But so he still finished in the top 10.
Yes. Six. Yeah.
I don't. You're gonna have bad races here and there, or mediocre races, I guess. You know, for him finishing in the top 10 there, but
yeah.
No, I wouldn't say he's been dethroned. I think they're still working out some bugs with their new cars and getting adapted to some things. So I think you'll see him back up there again.
You know, I was thinking they should probably connect that 8th spark plug wire on Danica's car.
That might help.
And they could maybe that's
it won't help. No.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Did I say that out loud?
Yeah, right. Oh, that's all right. That's all right.
No, actually, okay. So I'll go ahead and say before the show we were talking about it. You know, we're talking about Kyle Larson had a run on Newman, you know, on that last restart in Stenhouse. Got in there and they tangled up a little bit. And I said, well, if Danica's not going to screw up the race, for her boyfriend will do it for her, you know. So
we don't hold back on the Last Traffic podcast here.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
And, well, you know what? But we're not saying anything that's not being said in every trailer.
No.
In every pit.
Yeah.
You know, no. So.
Exactly.
Yep. We're just saying it out loud.
Yes. let's see here. So. Larson may be the bridesmaid in terms of finishing races, but he's made his way up to first place in the standings. So that's and he mentioned that after the race that you know it's good to be in first place right now.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You know, I mean, you know, you want to win races, but you know, I'll bet he'll take second place all the way to the championship.
Yeah,
that he'd be okay with that.
Yeah. Let's see. The 48, they've rebounded a little bit over the last two races. They're up from, I think they were 33rd two races ago going into Atlanta, and they're up to 16th. But still some trouble for Junior, man. He was running pretty good, then had some braking issues where he couldn't get on the brake and drive into the corner like he wanted to. And he's still truckling around there in the mid-20s there. Yeah,
you know, and but there's the thing is they're not out of brake as much as they're boiling the brake fluid, I think. What do you think, Brad?
Yeah, oh, yeah. On something like that, there's so much heat built up in there. Yeah, the brake fluid is a issue. I know what it likes to lose what it's like to lose your brakes.
Yeah, when you're going down a straightaway pumping up the brake pedal hoping that there's enough to be there when you go into the next corner, you tend to shy off a little bit.
Yeah. Oh yeah. You back down a little bit and you kind of hold your breath going into the corner cuz you're not sure if that pedal's going to be there or not.
Yeah.
So it's a little iffy for a while.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. That's that takes a little nerve. So yeah. So so I think he actually had a better car this week. Just cooked. I mean, they had in car temperatures of like 140 degrees.
It's nuts, man.
I mean, that's hot.
I was listening to Sirius on my way to work, and there was some talk about they might be making a request to move the Phoenix race just so it's not so hot out there. Tony, another week and another on-track incident. This time, not in not in Cup, but with Xfinity, between Cup Series regular driver Austin Dillon and Xfinity Series regular Cole Custer.
Yeah, you know, I saw that, and it was getting down towards the end of the race, and you know, I think as well, Brad, you know, I mean, things you start pushing and shoving a little bit more, and he admitted it. Cole Custer admitted he said, "I just overdrove the corner. I got in there. It's 100% my fault." And he got into Austin Dillon, but there again, you know, he's Cup guy, running in the Xfinity Series. My trouble with it was when he held off and his spotter told him where Cole Custer was on the track, so that he could peg him against the wall when he came back by again. Brad, what are your thoughts on track retaliation?
I'm completely against it, especially coming from the smaller series where, you know, we rely on our cars for a whole season if we can get away with it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm old school. If you want to take care of it in the pits after the race, that's fine. If I did something wrong, I can take a punch to the face. You know, I can admit I've done it wrong. Other guys, you know, you can expect the same from me, but I'm old school in the sense that, you know, after we get done with that, we're going to talk about it, and then we're going to have a beer together, and everything's going to be done.
Yeah, well, see, you know, and I always go back to Mark Martin had a good saying. He said, you know, whatever happened to a good old-fashioned ass-whipping? Why you got to tear up race cars? And, you know, and if I'm Cole Custer, and, right. You know, I mean, fortunately, he's Stuart Haas car, I believe, right?
Yeah.
He's Stuart Haas car.
Yep.
So, but, I mean, like, to your point, Brett, like, dude, you better be writing me a check because you just tore up my car. You know, I mean, you know, so, but then no penalty for that.
That's, I tell you, I got a real problem with that just because we had an on-track incident where cars were used, not as weapons. He wasn't whipping the car at his car at, you know, 100 miles an hour, but still. Under any other circumstance, NASCAR would have thrown, and I like to just say the phrase just because I think it's such a random phrase, that was actions detrimental to stock car racing in its number one form. you used the car to purposely wreck and do damage to another car.
Kyle Busch got suspended 3 races for doing the same thing to Ron Hornaday a few years back.
The NASCAR really just – I was completely fine with them not issuing a penalty to Busch and Logano. That was an off-the-track incident. The cars were parked. Hey, if these two guys – you know, and regardless of what your stance is on fighting or not fighting in terms of throwing punches, you know, in my opinion, all sports are built around that. Hockey focuses the camera on a fight when it goes, and if it gets too far, there's discipline. We've seen it a number of times where in baseball, if a guy gets hit from the pitcher, charges the mound. We see it in football. We see it in basketball, the malice at the palace. You know, like we have all of these incidences of where tempers flare because these are the most competitive and skilled athletes in the sport that they're in. And so if they didn't want to penalize for that off-track action, I was totally cool with that. I'm not cool with the inconsistency here of where you've got on-track issues going on with a veteran Cup driver who, you know, decided to retaliate.
He's not out anything. That's the thing that kills me. Yeah. He's not running for the championship. He didn't get booted out of the championship because of this, right?
Yeah.
Acted like a lunkhead in.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
I was really disappointed, you know, when I heard that there weren't going to be any penalties issued in that situation.
So then, Brad, take it one step further. So you get no penalty for fighting, no penalty for intentionally wrecking someone, but lug nut, you're missing a lug nut. Holy hell, man, you're going to, to jail, go directly to jail, do not pass go. your car can be low, can be underweight, no problem. That's fine. What do you think about you've been around a long time. You've raced in a lot of series, a lot of tracks. What are your thoughts on all this?
Every place I've always gone, here's your rules, follow them. It doesn't matter if you've won every race during the season and you're the big hero of the series. It doesn't matter. You broke a rule, you're done. I witnessed it a couple of years ago when the championship was taken away from a friend of mine because he broke a rule.
Oh, wow.
Whether it was intentional or not, we don't know. But still, those are the rules. You stick with your rules. I heard there was supposed to be some type of penalty for on-track situations like that.
Yeah.
And then find out that there's nothing done about it. So you can't be inconsistent with everybody on that. Otherwise, you're just going to end up with a big mess on the track after that.
So what's your thought on a car being too low or underweight or whatever in post-race?
I don't like their fines and this and that, and a crew chief getting suspended for three races. There's so many ways around that nowadays that doesn't even hardly affect them. You broke a rule, you won the race, guess what? The trophy's not yours anymore.
We've talked about that before. That's Tony's, man. Can you stop proving Tony's points? You're really making me look bad.
Lisa number 300.
Well, shoot me something else we'll disagree about.
This is reason number 375 why Brad Yunker, I'm a big fan. He's...
Hey, Brad, do you got an on-track incident story you could share or anything like that? Anything stick out to you from your racing days?
Which one?
See, but if Brad's like anything like any of my drivers, it was never his fault.
Well, of course not.
And
I was stopped from an incident when I was on pit road after I was leading the race with 18 to go and a lap truck had taken me out, and I was stopped because I was headed to his truck. And I was stopped before I got there. And then, I was greeted by three sheriffs standing in front of my trailer after I got back to the into the garage area.
Just in case you had any other ideas.
Just in case. Yeah. I'm not a small guy, so it tends to worry people when they see the fumes coming out of my head.
That's hysterical.
So I don't know how many it was going to take to whip my ass, but they brought three, huh? They brought three just to be sure.
Take all of them. That's right.
Real quick, Tony, one of our fans who does some ARCA work, Chi-Town Hustler, he sent us a message, and he wanted us to give a shout-out to B.J. McLeod and Timmy Hill, who had their best finishes in the Xfinity race this weekend. So yeah, congrats to those guys.
Actually, Timmy Hill's running pretty good.
So
we want to get into some social media? Guys, what's that?
I don't know how those guys do that. How they can put, that's got to be so tough to put things together I wouldn't even know where to start to put something like that together to run, in the Cup Series. And those guys work so hard and just to be there. I don't know how they do it.
And we plug those guys a lot. And we, like DJ Kennington is a Canadian racer. He made the Daytona 500. And, we're because we're grassroots guys, too. And, we're Detroit guys. We always root for an underdog. So So, yeah, I agree entirely. So, hey, B, you want to hit some social media?
Yes, sir. All right, everyone. Check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. We've got our race countdown for the next race. We have fan pictures up there, pictures of the NASCAR man cave. We haven't talked about the man cave in a while, and that's because I haven't had any new additions, so I should probably get on that.
Yeah, I don't think NASCAR by marriage is –
No.
I don't think that bothers her.
I haven't
made any new additions.
Yeah, no,
the,
I haven't gotten any purchases yet. Brad, I'm going to send you some pictures of my basement here, and you can see what we're talking about with the NASCAR man cave.
Okay, awesome.
People say it's a sight to behold, and I'm pretty proud of it. So, Facebook, follow our and like our page at the Lap Traffic Podcast. Twitter at Lap Traffic PC. Listen to us on iTunes or Podbean by searching the Lap Traffic Podcast. Right now, we have a contest going on Twitter. Once we hit 1,000 followers, which we only need about 200 more,
we're getting there.
We are giving away an autographed 8x10 of Martin Truex Jr. Let's see here. Shout outs to some new followers. Facebook, Ted Cooper, big number 2 fan. So welcome to the show.
Love Ted.
Yeah, I wonder why. John Holiday from Georgia, but Tony, get this. He lives and listens to us in Japan.
I saw that.
How awesome is that?
Ohayou gozaimasu, my brother.
Yeah. Sherry Wheeler from Greer, South Carolina. Some new Twitter followers. Kim Stevens at the Kim Stevens, big Martin Truex fan, so she's hoping to win that autograph.
Yeah, that'd be a good one for her.
Nancy Bellamy at Nancy Lee 276. She is an auto race photographer, writer, and blogger. So thanks for following us. And,
yeah, I saw that. And Nancy, I haven't had a chance to check any of your stuff out, but it's on my to-do list this week.
Let us know what you think of the show. And Ben Gumby at Gumby 61184, big Chase Elliott fan. So welcome to the show, guys. Let us know what you think. And stay in touch with us. We are still looking for a few new logo ideas. We've gotten a couple in over the last couple days.
He's coming in. Yes. You guys are, I mean, we keep saying this, but you guys like keep setting the bar higher and higher and higher, and it's making it more difficult for
us. Sent a logo with a sippy cup on it, Tony.
It was funny as hell.
Smart ass.
It was cool.
Some fantasy updates. So, Brad, we actually have we kicked around an idea, and we did it. We're actually running a listener fantasy league, and we've got about 30 people that have joined the fantasy league. No one picked Ryan Newman as the winner. Shocker. out of the 30 or so people, 10 people picked Kevin Harvick. No shocker there either. Cody and Chris Coble are still in a two-way tie for first place at 35 points. We got a three-way tie for second with 30 points. And the professor has finally made the board.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, you're welcome. You're welcome.
That only took a month.
Yeah, yeah. I'm only 20.
Yeah, welcome to the show.
I'm professor. Only 30 points behind. And we're down to just one person who has not scored any points yet. So I'm sure they'll be on the board sooner. Brandon, ooh. Yeah. So that about does it for our social media. Brad, I know sponsors are big for you. You want to plug your sponsors one more time?
Sure. Sponsored by PowerSkiff, Champion Credit Union, and Laborers 570, Local 574. I was hoping you'd give me an opportunity because I'm sitting here with one of my crew members who I forgot to mention earlier, and she's probably been around longer than all of them. She's done everything from helping dad with wrenches to, let's see, here at 13, she spotted a couple races for me.
Oh,
that's
cool.
So cool.
She's driven on racetracks. She's been around. That's my daughter, Calista. She's 16 now, but she's,
she's been involved with.
Well, we've kicked around it's not her passion, but we've kicked around the idea just to let her do it.
Heck yeah.
You know, I've never pushed her at driving, so.
Well, that's awesome. Well, hey, thanks, Costa. Glad to have you on the show.
Absolutely.
I don't know if she can hear us well, but I'll say hi. No, way cool. All right, so we ready?
Awesome. Tony, are you ready to go to work?
I'm ready to go to work.
Well, let's do it. It's time for another segment of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief, Tony Smith. All right. Welcome to the third edition of the Crew Chief Corner with the Lap Traffic's very own Crew Chief Tony Smith. If anyone has any questions for Tony, email them or use his new Twitter hashtag at Crew Chief Tony and send him some questions. Today's question comes to us from Kevin Lucas. Tony, why didn't everyone stay out when that last caution came out?
Man, you know, I was wondering about that one myself. When that came out, and thanks, Kevin, for the question. He's always got real good questions.
Absolutely.
He works at ASE, Automotive Service Excellence. Any professional mechanics out there, certainly familiar with ASE. But so here's a take on it, is I think it was natural for them to come in. I think they've seen the last couple races. They stay out, and then they get run over on some of these short runs. But, you know, these are bigger on much bigger tracks. And I think, and God bless them, man, RCR guys said, wait a minute. You know, they did their ciphering and said, by the time they're done cleaning this up, we've only got two laps left to go under green. It's worth the risk. We're going to be maybe in the top 10 anyways. We've got nothing to lose. Well-documented, Ryan Newman's harder than average to pass. Make that car wide and let it go. And I think Kyle Larson had a run at it. You know, we talked about that earlier, but I think he had a run at it. But man, I'm two laps. I don't care, like two laps on almost any track. I'm going to keep my guy out. So that's my take from the crew chief. Brad, what's your take there?
I think depending on where you're at. I mean, in a situation like that, a lot of them are going to play follow the leader because nobody. You know, you don't want to be that one guy to pit. You don't want to be the one guy that stays out and everybody else pits, because then you're done. But I think once you get past the top 10, like they saw an opportunity, then it's just a chance you got to take with two laps to go. I noticed something with the cars in clean air, like with Kyle Busch kind of walking away from everybody. So I think in my mind, you know, with two laps to go, keep me out. I'll try and get a run right off the bat and get out in that clean air and try to get away from everybody.
Two things to that, Brad. One, I think part of that may have had to do with the fact of, you know, RCR had nothing to lose. Ryan Newman hadn't won a race in a long time. RCR hasn't won a race in a long time. So,
since Kevin Harvick.
Right, yeah. So it's, you know, let's go for broke here. And it worked. And even if it didn't work, they still, like you said, they probably were still going to get a top 10. But, Brad, you bring up an interesting point with the aero and cars in clean air. And that's been the case at the last few races. Now, we've seen it at Phoenix. Kyle Busch took off and left everyone in the dust. We saw it at Atlanta. Kevin Harvick at one point had a 10-second lead on the second-place guy.
Joey Logano
wins
the first stage, and then he gets back and, you know, he had a speeding penalty, gets mired back in traffic, and he couldn't get through.
So I wonder, what do you guys think? Is this a product of just the racetracks we've been at, or is this a potential problem with the aero package that they have set up where clean air, it's your race to lose at that point, basically?
Yeah, I think it's been an issue for years, the whole aero, and you know, they've defined the cars so much that those little bit of aero advantages or anything you can get, I think has turned that into, you know, getting out in clean air and just walking away from everybody, as opposed to having to run in the turbulent air behind them.
Yep, and if you listen to the show, anybody that's followed along, I want to rip that spoiler off and rip those side skirts off. throw those in the trash can and let's go from there. And I think
that's right.
I think that's how we go. See, we got a lot. We agree.
It's number three.
I know. See,
it's been 52 minutes three times.
It's my new best friend. No. So,
anyways,
but
start our own.
Yeah, but
we're gonna start our own show.
Start our own show. So, yeah. So, thanks to Kevin for the question. As always, send them in, email them in, try it out on my brand new, fresh Twitter account.
Twitter handle. It's called a handle, Tony.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Yeah,
yeah.
Dude, it's got like a new Twitter handle smell.
The stickers haven't even worn.
Yeah, I still got the stickers in the window. It's brand new. But no, that's cool. So follow me and hit me up there, guys. I love the questions. And as always, trust the crew chief.
Yes, sir.
All right. What are we up to now here, buddy boy? We're going into Fontana.
Fontana. Michigan's sister track.
It is. And this is the final race of the West Coast Swing.
Yes, sir.
Which means then when they come back, we can get back to truck racing.
Yes. Oh, my God. I've missed the trucks.
Please and thank you.
Yes.
That'd be cool.
Yes.
But, so, yeah, man, we got I always like this race, I'll be honest with you, because I think we're going to see how this is really going to play out. This aero package is going to be completely different than what we've seen what we saw at Phoenix and what we saw at Daytona, and this is going to be really the first pass at it, I think.
The racing at Fontana has also gotten better over the years. The track's getting up there in age. Yeah, it's a multi-groove track. It's wide.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to the race this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Tony, you got a pick for the race this weekend?
I am going with Mr. Bridesmaid himself.
Oh,
he's going to do it.
I like that pick.
He's going to do it.
Yeah. Well, he did win at Michigan.
Yeah.
So I like that pick.
He won at Michigan right after we saw him win at Eldora.
Yes, he did, which is very cool.
Yeah, so I'm not saying I'm his good luck charm. I'm just, saying.
Wow. I am going to go with my third use already of the year with Jimmy Johnson. I need to get some points. The boy likes Fontana. So I'm going for points here, not saving my drivers. So I'm going with Jimmy Johnson.
And what about you, Brad?
Well, I know who I'd like to pick, but
you want to pick Junior?
I'll probably have to go with Keselowski instead.
Oh,
all right, we like that.
All right, so that would be another thing. All right, Brad Junker, new best friend. All
right, let's wrap this shit up. Let's go.
No, so all right, so hey, I think that's going to wrap us up. We're going to next week. We're going to go over our fantasy results. We're going to go over Fontana, and man, once again, cannot thank you enough for being on the show, Brad Junker, driver of the number 30 Power Skip Top Speed Modified, for being on the show. And I have a feeling we'll be in touch again.
I hope so. Had a good time. I'm glad you guys had me on.
Absolutely. Thanks again, everyone. Just a quick reminder, check out our website, thelaptrafficpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook, The Lap Traffic Podcast. Hit us up on Twitter, at LapTrafficPC. And if you are in our fantasy league, don't forget to get me your picks for Fontana.
All right, everybody. That wraps up our show. Show number 14 is in the books. Make sure that you keep up. Otherwise, you'll become lap traffic. See you next week.
See ya.